Thank you, Dave. Good morning. Here's a letter addressed to you, Dave. Yeah. Got mail coming through up here now. So I knew we were broadcasting around the world, but I didn't know we were handling mailing as well. But hey, we can do a lot of things here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. So I'm not sure who all is going to hear our time together this morning, but that's a nice looking dish right there. A nice looking building, I would say for sure. We think there's a lot of people been involved in that. Particularly the Burton family has worked tirelessly and with creativity, and we're very thankful to them for what they've done in preparing. And I hope that you'll be able to pay attention to me. I don't know, with all that, if you got any kind of ADD going on, I don't have a chance to keep you today. I know that, so but I'll just do my best. But it's great to be with you. How many of you here have ever flown on a commercial airline? Any of the airlines? That's most people. Okay. How many of you have flown at least 10 times? Maybe 10 times on a commercial airline. Okay. Anybody here flown 25 times on a commercial? Yeah, we got a lot. Okay. Interesting. How many of you have only flown once? Raise your hand. You've only flown a commercial airline once. Okay. I want you to just go back in your mind, whether you've flown once or more than 25 times, and I want you to think about you're sitting there on the runway before you take off, and the airline attendant gets up and they give the infamous safety talk, all right? Now, think back to the first time you were on the plane and how you listened. You were grabbing hold of the seat back probably, and you were holding on, and you were watching and saying, I wish that guy would move his head. I can't see. I'm trying to find out what she's saying, and I want to make sure I'm prepared. I know we're only going from Greensboro to Charlotte, but we still might crash into water, and I want to be ready with the seat bottom flotation device and everything, and how to breathe and all that stuff. Now you folks that have flown over 25 times, you're probably one of these. Maybe the lady over here on the side, that's you. It comes on, put your headphones on and go to sleep. Man, I'm going to listen to this again. I've heard this so many times. You know, some of them try to make it a little more interesting than others. But, you know, there's different ways that people listen and hear when they're listening to instructions on an airliner. And you know where you fit in that spectrum, from being asleep to sitting on the edge of your seat. Maybe some of you that have flown over 25 times, you might still be on the edge of your seat. I don't know. It just depends. But this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter. And we've been going through the book of Luke, and we've been considering the perfect human being. The perfect human being. That's how Luke presents the Lord Jesus. Matthew presents him as king. Mark presents him as the servant of the Lord. John presents him as the Son of God. And Luke focuses his writing on the Lord Jesus as the perfect human being. And this morning we're going to consider the perfect human being teaching. He's going to be teaching. And what we would like to use as our theme this morning is this little phrase, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. Now we're going to start with verse 18 of chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 4 to 21, but we're going to start with verse 18 of Luke chapter 8. And just notice the first part of the verse. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Therefore, take heed how you hear. If you have a more modern translation or a paraphrase, it may say something like, watch out how you hear. Be careful how you hear. It's interesting, but in the literal Greek, it actually would be see how you hear. See how you hear. When we think back to those who were sitting on the airplane and we're thinking about how they hear very differently, the same instructions, they're going on the same flight, but their attitudes and how they're hearing are different. When I was a little kid growing up at Forest Avenue Tabernacle, we used to sing a little song. Dick would lead us and others. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Some of you remember that song. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, and little feet, where you go, and little hands, what you do. You know, and that's very appropriate. And for us, we could maybe sing, be careful, little big ears, what you hear, or bigger ears. But you know, this morning I want us to think about, we could also sing that song, be careful, big ears, how you hear. Because it's not only important what you hear, and interesting, pretty much the same passage over in the book of Mark, Mark emphasizes to take heed what you hear. But here Luke quotes the Lord Jesus, probably on another occasion or maybe even in the same sermon, but he emphasizes here, take heed how you hear. And that's going to be my challenge to us this morning. Three things to watch out for regarding how we hear the Word of God. How we hear the Word of God. Now, this hearing may come in a setting like we're in this morning, or where one person is taking the Word of God and opening up and presenting it to you. It also may come in a small group Bible study where you hear the Word of God. It also may come in your time of family devotions and you hear the Word of God. It also may come in your own private or personal devotions with the Word of God. It may come as you're reading something online or listening to a Christian radio station. In all of these ways and in others, you're hearing the Word of God. And our challenge this morning is to take heed how you hear. First of all, we're going to be looking at verses 4, starting with verse 4. And we're going to read down through verse 8. And you're going to be very familiar with this passage. It's the parable of the sower, some call it, or relevantly, the parable of the soils. So read with me, beginning in verse 4. Follow along as I read Luke 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now we're going to come back at another point to verses 9 and 10, but we're going to go straight to verse 11. And we're going to have the Lord Jesus giving the meaning of this parable. The word parable comes from a Greek word that means side by side. And so a parable really, in the Bible use of parable, it takes a spiritual truth and puts it beside a physical, earthly truth so that we might better understand the spiritual truth. It's a comparison. So here he gives the explanation, beginning in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. I'm going to think here for a moment about the context. It's something that was very normal in that time and in that place where the Lord Jesus was, as he spoke about a sower, not somebody with a sewing machine or needle and thread, but rather an S-O-W-E-R with some seed to sow. And here you have a couple of pictures, artist renditions of what this sowing might have been like. You notice there's a path there along the way. There's some overgrowth. There's some different types of soils represented in these pictures. And you see how they're sowing the seed. They're carrying it in some type of cloth, probably, around their shoulder and waist. And they put their hand in. And some of you may have sown grass this way. You know, if you have one of the things that you crank and it shoots it out, same idea. Or if you just take it out of a bucket or a pail or a bag and take it and just throw it out. That's the idea. This wasn't like making a row and getting down and putting the individual seeds in. This is sowing in a different way. Maybe like we would sow grass or wildflowers. And they're just taking it and they're just throwing it out. And that's what the sower is doing. And the Lord Jesus tells us very clearly in verse 11 that the seed that he's speaking of is the Word of God. So the Word of God is being spread. And we find from this parable of the soils that there are four different results based on the four conditions of the soil. And what we're considering in this is to hear the word with a readiness to receive it. How are you hearing the word? Take heed, be careful how you hear the word. Make sure that when you hear the word, in whatever format it's coming to you, hear the word with a readiness to receive it. Now, readiness carries with it the thought of preparation. Now, the goal, obviously, of sowing is to bear some type of fruit, whether that's a nice lawn or whether that's some beautiful flowers or whether that's something to eat or something to use for medicinal purposes. The goal of sowing is reaping. It's to bear fruit. Now, when we think about ourselves today, in the context of the 21st century, and we look at ourselves here in the Word of God, we know that God is wanting us as believers to bear fruit. One of the first things that may come to our minds and is emphasized in the Scriptures is the fruit of the Spirit. This week at Bible school, we're going to sing a little song about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to sing that, you know what? The fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. It's not a pineapple or a banana. No, rather, the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, and it's things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Those things are the fruit of the Spirit. And God is desiring the fruit of the Holy Spirit controlling our lives to be lived out really as the life of the Lord Jesus. That's what He wants to be lived out in your life. He wants the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ to be seen in the way that you live and that I live our lives. That's His desire. He desires, what we read in Hebrews 13, 15, that we would continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. He desires that we be thankful people. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we have so much to be thankful for. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I would say you still have a lot to be thankful for. But you don't have the thing that we're most thankful for. And that's salvation. That's forgiveness. That's eternal life. That's the Lord Jesus as our own Savior. There's the fruit of ministering into the lives of others, as Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 1. And he talks about the Word of God, the truth of the gospel coming into Colossae as it has in all the world and was bringing forth fruit. People turning to the Lord Jesus. How we pray that this week in this room, as the gospel goes out to these children, that boys and girls and young people are going to hear the gospel message and they're going to respond in a positive way to the truth of the gospel, and how that is our prayer this very morning. Because what we're sharing applies both to believers and unbelievers in the way that we hear the Word of God. And we need to hear the Word of God with a readiness to receive it. Did you notice there, I'm sure you did, the fruit-producing soil of the four soils? It was the last one, right? It was the good soil. You know, the same seed was sown by the same or an equivalent sower in every one of those illustrations the Lord Jesus used. The only variation was the condition of the soil where the seed was sown. In 1 Peter 1:23, we read about being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of the kind of seed this guy was sowing on our picture, but rather of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Take heed how you hear the Word of God. Think for a moment, what is it that keeps the first three soils from being good soil? Well, you notice back there in verse 12 that there was some soil. As the sower went out, he threw it. Some fell by the wayside where people walk up and down. And it's hard-packed soil, packed down by pedestrians. And we find here that this represents those whose hearts have little or no interest in receiving the Word of God. There is little or no receptivity to the Word of God. You know, our hearts can become hard because a lot of things, as it were, walk over our hearts every day. You know, a tough day at work can harden the heart to the Word of God. A difficult day at school can harden our hearts. A relationship where we're battling with someone can make our hearts hard. Watching the television shows that the world brings to us, that can harden our hearts. Having our attention on other things, all of that can harden our hearts. And many other things. So that the seed of the Word of God doesn't really go down in our hearts. In Hebrews 3:13, we read that we need to exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Practicing sin can harden our hearts. Letting our lives drift away in one little area that nobody else would even know about and could even tell. But it begins to harden the heart. In Hebrews 3:15, we read, today, if you will hear His voice, and that's what the Word of God is. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Don't be like the children of Israel who hardened their hearts and allowed their hearts to become hard because Satan is right there ready to remove the seed from your heart. And as I exhort you today, and as the Word of God is shared with you today and will be later today and this week and in many different ways, be careful that your heart is not hard, that the things of this life are not tamping down the soil of your heart and hindering your interest in receiving the Word of God. That can happen to someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. It can also happen to someone who has received the Lord Jesus as Savior. But their hearts can become hard. And the Word goes out. And you may sit in this room every Sunday. And the Word of God may come to your heart. Is it penetrating your heart? Or does it sit there on the top? And then Satan comes in because he's right there like a roaring lion wanting to devour. And in the picture the Lord Jesus paints here, he's like a bird flying in and boom, it's gone. It's gone because it just sat on the surface. Well, in verse 13, he describes another soil. It's the rocky soil. Now, on the hard soil, there was little or no interest whatsoever in really receiving the Word. And I can't tell by you sitting here if your heart is hard or not. You could be looking at me with an intense interest reflecting in your eyes, but in reality, your mind is somewhere totally besides where we are. Maybe it's in Brazil there, or Tokyo, or just on one of these clocks. But you don't, your heart is hard. But here he speaks of a rocky soil. Now this soil is rocky, but it's not obviously rocky. It's like my attempt at a garden at my house. My garden grows more rocks than it does anything else. More rocks than vegetables. They weren't there when I plowed it up and when I raked it out. No, but when I come out to pick something, I find rocks growing in my garden. And sometimes the rocks are underneath. They're not very deep, obviously. But there's a level of soil where the seed can go in, and that's exactly what happens here, the Lord Jesus says. There's an initial interest in the Word. There's an enthusiastic, even, embracing of the Word. But once things begin to get difficult, once things begin to start heating up in life, you know, the thoughts of the Word of God, rather than turn to the Word of God, they turn to other things and it withers and dies. There's no root. There's no room for the root to go deeper. And there's oftentimes an emotional response. And you may hear the Word of God and you may get excited about that and say, that's great. That was a wonderful truth that I picked up this morning. But you know what? If those rocks are there in your heart, underneath the edge, and you hadn't dealt with the rocks, then, you know, there's nowhere for the roots to go. And you don't have that strength. Can I ask you this morning, is there something causing your heart to be shallow and only interested in the Word of God on a surface level? Is there something down underneath that you've not dealt with that allows you to get excited, but then the excitement wanes when you go through the difficulties of life? There's a third soil the Lord Jesus talked about, and He describes it in verse 14 as thorns. It's a thorny soil. The seed springs up, but the thorns choke it out. You know, we saw that some folks have a hard heart. You know, and I ask you again, is there something tamping down the soil of your heart that the Word cannot penetrate? And then there are others who, they receive the Word of God with enthusiasm, with joy, but it's a shallow heart. And there's a lot of rocks underneath and things that are hindering the true reception of the Word of God. But then there are those like this third soil, and it seems like that here you got a good root system. They grab hold of the Word of God. They embrace it with joy. There's no rocks underneath, and the roots begin to go down. But then some cares come up, some anxieties of life. You see, on one extreme, you got the anxieties of life. On the other extreme, causing the same problem, the Lord Jesus said, are the riches and the pleasures of life. Are one, two, three of those things choking out the Word of God in your life? The Lord Jesus is speaking, and He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. What can I do about this? Well, Hosea, in Hosea 10:12, he speaks to the nation of Israel, and he says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. In other words, till up the ground of your heart. Till up that unsoftened ground. Till up that hard ground that it'll get soft. Till up that rocky ground that the rocks will be exposed and you can get them out of the way. Till up that ground that has the thorns and clear those thorns and weeds out. Now I must confess that if I was a garden and somebody came along with a tiller or a mattock or a hoe or a rake and I had any feeling, any nerves in my soilness, I wouldn't like what they were doing. That would hurt. And can I say that as we allow God to come in and to truly till up our hearts, it will be painful. We're warned about that in the Scriptures. Hebrews 12 and verse 11 says that no chastening, no training seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You see, God is wanting fruit in your life. God is wanting fruit to be seen from you and through you and in you. That's God's heart for you. Not that your life be a barren wilderness, but that you be fruitful. But in order for you to be fruitful, in order for me to be fruitful, there must be that willingness for me to get before God and you to get before God and to pray, Lord, I confess that my heart has been hard to your word. Lord, I confess that I've been taking in your word, but those rocks that I've allowed to stay there, those little things that have gotten into my life and into my mind that I've not dealt with and they hinder your word getting hold of me, Lord, I confess and I repent of that. Lord, I confess that I have not been receiving your peace, but rather I have been living in anxiety. Lord, I must confess that I have taken the good things you have given me, the pleasures and riches, and Lord, I've allowed them to choke the word of God out of my life, and nobody even knows it. But you know it, Lord. You know it. Others look and they think that I'm fruitful, but Lord, you know I'm not. You know it's a fake. Lord, I want to be real. I want you to come in. Lord, I want to do, as we read in James 1:21, I want to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and I want to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save my soul. If you've never received the Lord Jesus as Savior, you can save your soul from an eternal destiny of the lake of fire separated from God and give you a life that matters, a life that's joyful, a life that's purposeful. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, allowing the implanted word to come in as I meekly receive that, instead of bowing up my back, I humble and slink my shoulders. Lord, you take control. Put the word of God in my heart because I want it to save me from a wasted life, from a barren life. Pray. Yield. Yield ourselves to the Lord, the God of the word. The one who spoke the worlds into existence, and the one who spoke to you and speaks to you and to me through the Scriptures, the living Word of God. Take heed how you hear. We can waste minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. We can waste our lives. Listen to the Word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Can I challenge you? Can I exhort you this morning to make sure your heart is ready to receive the word? Lord, expose to me if there's anything that's getting in the way of my heart being good soil. Lord, you show it to me and I will do what I can to get rid of it. And I'll reach out for help and I'll ask others to pray for me. And I'll ask others to keep me accountable. And I'll ask others to help me get rid of those things. Lord, I want my heart to be ready to receive your word. Precious seed. God's word being spoken to you every time you open the word of God. Every time you hear it, it's God speaking to you and your heart individually. And even if your heart is hard, he's throwing the seed out. He knows if it's hard, if it's rocky, if it's thorny. But he's willing to enable it to be good soil. Hear the word with a readiness to receive it. We want to go a step further here in the second thing as we seek to take heed how we hear the word. We want to hear the word with a desire to understand it. A desire to understand it. Go back to verse 9. In between the time the Lord Jesus gave the parable and explained the parable, here's what happened. Verse 9. Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" They wanted to understand it. They had heard it, but they wanted to understand it. And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may see, and hearing they may not understand." Now, with that in mind, that's the backdrop. Go down to verse 16. After the Lord Jesus explains the parable, he begins to speak using another illustration. And I believe that he's referring back to his explanation. Verse 16, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Here we have another illustration. Here are two lamps from that time period. You see that they're on stands. One is an artist drawing on the left. The other is a photograph on the right. And you see the stands there, and the lamp sits on top with the oil in it and the wick in it. And it's lit, and it burns. And it's up on a stand for a purpose. It's up on a stand so that it can give light to those who are in the room. Now, the Lord Jesus has explained the parables. And he says, you know, to you who have come and asked me what this means, to you it's been given that you will understand. But the same parable that explains a truth to one group hides the truth from another group. We might say, well, it sounds to me like God has certain people he's going to let hear and other people he's going to hide it from them. Well, that's why I think the Lord Jesus goes right in with verse 16 and says, here's a lamp. And nobody lights a lamp to go hide it under a bed or put it in a container where no one can see the light. Now, if no one does that, do you think God says, now nobody does that but except me? You see, I light it. And the Word of God is called a lamp unto our feet in the book of Psalms, and a light unto our path. Does God give His Word and go hide it under a bed so people can't find it? No, that's not what God does. No, that's not what God does at all. You see, parables enlighten willing hearts and minds while veiling truth from those who were not interested. Not interested. In John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, we read that the Lord Jesus knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify a man, for he knew what was in man. You see, the Lord Jesus knows if you have a desire to really understand or not. Eventually, it's going to be revealed. But he knows the true interest level of your heart, and he will not, as he says in another place, cast pearls before swine. He's not going to give understanding if you're not sincere in desiring it. Is there a sincere desire to understand? Was there a sincere desire to understand from these hearers? There was from some of them. Because the disciples, they came and said, what does it mean? I want to understand it. The rest of the people could have come and said, what does it mean? But they weren't really interested. Oh, interesting story. That's pretty cool, you know. I can use that to tell my kids at bedtime. But they didn't really want to know what it meant. There wasn't that desire. The disciples had to ask. The others didn't ask because they weren't interested enough to ask. You see, the intellectual comprehension of a passage is important. But there also needs to be a spiritual understanding, listen to this, of the application of the passage to my life. And that is not hidden by God. He's not hiding that, but it's not in plain sight. So only those who have a sincere desire are going to look for it and are going to find it. You ever play hide and seek with a 2-year-old? When you play hide and seek with a 2-year-old, you don't go hide under the house back behind the heat vent. No, you go hide under a table where they got to find you, but they can see you as soon as they walk in the room. And if they don't, you make a few noises. You see, that's what God does. He gives us His Word that we can understand it, but we've got to come to look for it. But he's not hiding it under the house behind the heat vent. No, not at all. He's I say this reverently, he's got it under the table where we can see it, but we got to look for it. We got to look for it. We have to desire it. We've got to desire to see the light and to have our sin exposed by the light and have the light of God reveal the Son of God to us and for it to light our path. We've got to be willing to engage the truth when it is exposed to us. And this, let me say this with all seriousness. This is serious business. Because what I read of what the Lord Jesus says in verse 18 makes me shudder. Not the first part that we're emphasizing, take heed how you hear, but the reason he says you need to be careful and watch out how you hear, because whoever has, to him more is going to be given. The person who's interested and is seeking to understand, they're going to receive more. But to those who are not interested, to those who listen and get the mental picture but are not seeking to understand an application to life, he said, even what it seems like they have is going to be taken away from them. And that is scary. That is scary. We must be serious about the Word of God. I must desire to know God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9, verse 10. In Jeremiah 29, 13, we read that the Lord says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We do want to be lazy, but we shouldn't be lazy. The temptation is to be lazy and to hear the Word of God, but then not to take it and say, how does that apply to me? What is God wanting me to do with that? Lord, help me to understand how this impacts my life today. I talked to a young man this week who loves to go into thrift stores and antique shops, and he looks for things that look terrible. Because he is seeking something. He is seeking silver. And he knows that underneath that black, tarnished exterior is something of value. So he spends time walking through the thrift store. And something that other people would not even notice, he picks it up and looks at it and examines it, studies it, decides where it's worth it, and he goes and he pays for it a good price, and he goes home and he brings out the Tarnax and he goes to town because he's seeking something of value. Are we like that with the Word of God? Are we taking the time and the effort to find what it is and then apply it in our lives? Here's our principle: sincerely seek to understand the application of the Word of God to your life. That's my exhortation. But there's one more step. So we've got to hear the Word with a readiness to receive it, making sure our hearts are ready to receive the Word. We need to hear the Word with a desire not only to receive it, but to understand it, to sincerely seek to understand the application. How does God's Word apply to my life? And all of God's Word applies to our lives. Some we have to seek harder than others. Here's the last point. Hear the Word with a will to obey it. It's time to close, so we're going to our last three verses, verse 19 to 21. Follow along with me. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the Word of God and do it. And do it. All through this passage, hear, 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 hearing, hear, heard. It's there. And now he comes down to the end. You see, people are wanting to see him as his mom and his brothers, and he loves them. And we know that by the way that he interacts with them all throughout his life, even up to his death. But he makes a point here, a spiritual point. And that is that we must hear the Word with a will to obey it. You see, obedience to the Word of God is an evidence of the reality of faith. James says, if you say you have faith and there is no evidence in your life, he said that is a very questionable claim to faith. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus says that we're to love our enemies and bless those who curse us and do good to those who hate us and pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us, that we may be sons of our Father in heaven. Now, he's not saying that's how you get saved. No, you get saved by acknowledging to God, I'm a sinner, I'm guilty, I'm separated and deserve that, but I believe that your Son, the perfect one, died for my sins and rose again, and I receive him as my Savior. Take my life. But you see what? When we act like the Lord Jesus, then the Father is seen in us. And that's when other people realize that person is a child of God. Not just because they said, hey, I'm a child of God, which we should, but because they lived it out. We need to have a readiness to receive the Word and a desire to understand it, but there also must be included a will to obey what is received and understood. I must choose to obey. I have a dear brother in the Lord who has said to me multiple times, obedience is not my specialty. And it's not his specialty. And I'll be honest with you, it's not my specialty. And I don't think it's your specialty. Do you know what? It's not a matter of whether or not it's our specialty, but it's our responsibility. By the grace and power of God, to determine to promptly obey everything God reveals to us from his Word. We have a wonderful privilege to hear the Word of God. I want to thank you for giving me a few extra minutes this morning. I felt like I needed to have all of this together, and I trust that the Lord will take this to our hearts. Please open your heart. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to have a very brief prayer. I'd just like you to use the time. Our brother's going to play a song on the piano when I finish. Can I encourage you this morning? This morning, take those few moments. Don't talk. Don't get your Bible ready. Don't put your jacket on. I want you to keep your eyes closed and meditate and think about what the Lord's saying to you. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, you need to come to Him in faith this morning by grace. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, we need to examine our hearts. I'm going to do the same thing as I walk down the aisle. And let's do business with God. Father, we thank you for your Word. Lord, it's a solemn responsibility as well as a wonderful privilege to hear you speak through the Scriptures. Father, might we take heed how we hear. Please do your work by the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.